Welcome to the online service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2021. We hope you have a copy of the order of service, which will allow you to participate in the responses and the hymns. It has been mislabeled as Good Sunday at the top of the page, but it is indeed Easter Sunday service, in case anyone is confused. Today we have Glenna Gray and Chris Watson to sing and read with us, as well as a number of other voices helping out. Thank you to everyone for helping us lead this service. We were hoping to have a live Easter service at Knox this morning. The new lockdown and the danger of the new COVID variants persuaded the executive to vote unanimously to cancel the live service, even though we could have legally had up to 30 people in attendance. We didn't want to put anyone at risk, especially just as we are starting to see the vaccines become more widely available. We know that Easter is the most central celebration of the Christian year, and that this is the second Easter Sunday we have been kept apart. We hope that this podcast will allow us to feel connected to our wider community of faith. I encourage you all to sing out our Easter hymns with all your voice. We were planning to show a video montage of photos along with the anthem Joy Comes with the Dawn as part of our live Easter service. Knox has a brand new YouTube channel, courtesy of Steve LaFlamme and the Communications Committee. And if you want to see this video, simply type YouTube Knox United Church Nepean into your search engine. You will see that we have two videos. That's the first. The other one is a children's garden video explaining how to rescue ladybugs that hatch indoors in cold weather and keep them safe until they can be released into the garden, as recorded by Lori Jensen with the help of our cat, Spike. Jennifer Heal has asked me to share a word of thanks with the Knox community. A year ago, her parents came home safely after weeks of being stranded in Spain, trapped by the onset of the pandemic. These are Jennifer's words. Knowing that mine was not the only family caught up in all of this mess a year ago, it feels appropriate to ask you to share words of thanks to the members of our congregation for providing emotional support to each other then and during this whole difficult year. For me, it was people checking in on the situation and letting me stress while assuring me that it would be fine. For others, it might have been a kind word or a listening ear for the frontline workers they know. For those who lost someone during this time of isolation, caring enough to find meaningful ways to connect with people in mourning, even when a physical presence was not possible, was helpful. The podcast helpers, keeping the feeling of our church community going, all of it. Thank you for that, Jennifer. I'm sure that expresses the feelings of many other people too. A number of announcements, as well as some good news items and prayer requests, are in the newsletter that was circulated on Thursday. We encourage you to share your own good news and prayer requests in the newsletter each week. If you would like to send us good news or prayer requests or anything else, please contact the church office at 613-829-2266 or office@knoxnepean.ca. These are all the announcements for today. Let us prepare for worship. Thank you. Our call to worship for this morning is responsive, and it's printed in the order of service. We are an Easter people.
Ours is an Easter faith.
Our fears have died. We rise to dream.
To love, to dance, to live.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed, risen in our lives.
Our first hymn is found in Voices United at 175 and printed in the order of service. This is the day that God has made. Opening prayer for today is a unison prayer. It is printed in the order of service. Let us pray. May the God whose power breaks through the stone break into our lives and free us from all that binds us. May the risen Christ, whose love is stronger than death, speak our names and bring us new peace and joy. May the Spirit, who walks the road with us, give us wisdom to understand and courage to share God's new life for the whole world. Amen. Our next hymn is found in Voices United at number 155, and it too is printed in the order of service. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Jesus Christ is risen today.
Our responsive psalm for today is Psalm 118. It is similar to last week's, but includes different verses. Today, we will be reading verses 1 through 4, and then verses 14 to 24. You can find this at Voices United 837, parts 1 through 3, or printed in the order of service. We will rehearse the refrain before we begin the psalm. Let Israel now say,
God's love endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron say,
God's love endures forever.
Let those who fear God say,
God's love endures forever.
God is my strength and my song. God has become my salvation.
There are shouts of joy and deliverance in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of God does mighty things. The right hand of God raises up.
The right hand of God does mighty things.
I shall not die, but live, and I shall proclaim what God has done.
God indeed punished me, but did not give me over to death.
Alleluia, alleluia. Open to me the gates of the temple, that I may enter and give thanks to God.
This is the gate of God. Through it the righteous shall enter.
I thank you, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is God's doing, marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Alleluia, alleluia.
The first lesson today is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Through the storm, as gathers in light with their sun.
Second lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. I have entitled this sermon, The Resurrection Ellipsis. An ellipsis, for those of you who are fuzzy on your grammar studies, is that part of the sentence that gets left out. It's unfinished. Most often we show it in writing by three dots. You know, when the story says, "and then ... which leaves the reader to perhaps wonder or perhaps imagine what happens next. That's exactly what happens in Mark's gospel. This is the oldest gospel, the first gospel, and it ends with a cliffhanger. The disciples have seen the empty tomb. They have the promise that they will see the risen Christ in Galilee, and they are so terrified that they run away, and they say nothing to anyone. Now, from a literary point of view, this is a wonderful ending. It's full of drama and suspense. What happens next? Do they tell Peter and the disciples? Do they see Jesus in the flesh? Do they go to Galilee at all? Now, understand that Mark was writing 30 years after the actual events took place. So the Christian community would already be filled with stories about people who had encountered the risen Christ. But this gospel was written not so much for the Christian community as for newcomers. It was written to draw people in and to make them try to find the answer to that wonderful question, what happened next? Now, within the church, that upset people. It upset people so much that two extra endings were written for the Gospel of Mark. One is called the shorter ending, one is called the longer ending. And of course, when Matthew and Luke copied Mark's gospel as the basis of their own gospels, they in turn provided more endings, two slightly different ones from each other. And then, of course, John wrote a very different version of events for his gospel, finally. It seems there's something in our personalities that makes us really want to nail things down. We don't like the uncertainty of the ellipsis. We're afraid of those three dots. But let's dwell there for a moment. What is this gospel saying to us when it ends that way? Clearly, the empty tomb is unsettling. It shows us that Jesus isn't there, despite that's what you'd expect when someone is dead and buried. But of course, for us, and for the first readers of Mark's gospel, 30 years after the events, well, none of us and none of them have seen the tomb. We haven't seen where he is. We haven't seen him personally. All we have, all they had, was the young man at the tomb, pointing us toward the future. Isn't that very much where we live today? All the information that we have about the resurrection comes from someone else, and we have to figure out what to do with it. Do we believe it? Do we challenge it? Do we question it? And which of the many versions do we take most seriously? And maybe most importantly, what does it mean for our lives? We can get stuck on those questions. We can be terrified and amazed like the women at the tomb. And we can run away, speaking to no one because we don't know what to say. I mean, that seems like a very understandable sort of reaction. I mean, they've just been given an incredible claim. He is risen. What do we do with that? But of course, we know something about what happened next. We know that those women didn't stay stuck there, did they? I mean, if they had, there would be no Christianity. We know that they did go and tell Peter and the disciples. They got over their initial terror. They came out of hiding. And eventually they went to Galilee to see what it was that Jesus had in store for them. And now, 2,000 years later, we are part of a massive world religion that touches every land and every nation. Because those women did not stay frozen in place. They were prepared to get past the uncertainty, to go into the future without a realistic clue of what would happen. So then what is our calling in this story? Obviously, we can't do exactly what they did. It's centuries too late to go to Galilee to meet the risen Christ. So, to what kind of future are we being called? Where do we meet Jesus today? Paul was too late for that particular meeting too. Paul in the Bible met Jesus in a vision on the road to Tarsus. That vision changed his life, and he wasn't at all hung up about the question of a physical resurrection. Paul actually preached something else, a spiritual resurrection. And he considered that he had really met Jesus in that vision. There was no division for him between how significant the spiritual and the material would be. For Paul, the two worlds, the world of spirit and the world of flesh, mattered equally. I strongly suspect that a great many early Christians had that same attitude. Questions of a physical resurrection began to matter later, as Greek philosophical teachings about dividing the spiritual and material worlds increasingly drove a wedge between them. It would be good for us to reconnect the spiritual and material worlds. And we are today rediscovering the importance of spiritual healing and the effect that it can have even on the physical body. So maybe there is a clue to what our future holds, the direction to which we are being called, a world in which our obsession with the concrete is tempered with a vision of deeper things, of spiritual realities that cannot be measured with any known instruments. But that's just a clue. Because I think that the actual message of the end of Mark's gospel is not to tell us what to expect. In many ways, it does the opposite. It leaves things wide open, but it does urge us to overcome our fears, to go forward into the unknown, to see where God is leading us. That unknown looms large right now. You know, for years, for decades, for a very long time, we've had structures in place in our lives, and those have made us think that we had the future in hand. Those made us think that we were in control somehow. But this year of pandemic and the ongoing uncertainties of the new variants, the prospect that we may not really be able to predict just when we will be done with this pandemic, that's the biggest uncertainty that most of us have ever faced in our lives. And for some people, it's led to extremely concrete challenges, things like job losses, health risks in the jobs that they still have. People have lost loved ones. People have lost homes. People don't know what to expect, and they don't know how to face it all. And in the midst of it all is that looming threat of isolation, a modern version of the terror and amazement faced by those women. And that keeps us alone and afraid to talk to anyone. All of this suggests to me that our calling is to do what those early disciples managed to do, develop the courage to do, to stop hiding, to connect with each other, to go into the future together, following that example, that lead that Jesus showed us with his teachings and with his own life. Well, how will that work? Who knows? I can't even answer the question of how the resurrection works. And that's been 2,000 years in the making. But I believe that it does work, at least on a spiritual level. Those disciples had to try something new. They had to learn on the journey, not just when they went to Galilee, but when they went beyond, out into the rest of the world that they had never seen before. And right now, we have to learn too. We have to make those extra efforts to connect with each other. We have to break the barriers of isolation and fear. We have to resurrect that community that Christ has created here and bring it to stronger life than before. The message of Jesus has always involved getting us past our fears, especially the fear of the future. That process of getting past our fears is where we build our faith and learn how to strengthen our faith as we go forward. We don't have faith because we know what's next. We have faith because, despite the uncertainty of the future, we can trust that God will provide us with a way forward. Maybe it will be an unexpected way, a new way. Maybe we'll learn something along the way, new things, things that we never thought would be part of our skill set. And I can guarantee that as we go forward, we will meet unexpected people and make new connections that we could not have predicted, whether it be in person or maybe through some new technology. I mean, think about it. Mark's gospel was a new technology. There had never been a gospel before. Mark invented it. It served us well going forward all these years. So who can say what will help us next? Who knows what exciting new thing God has in store for us? The only way to find out is to get out there, to move into the future, to build our connections along the way. Our Easter call is to stop hiding, to fill in the blank left by those three dots, to discover this unknown future, the future we can encounter with God. Amen. Our next hymn, our very celebratory hymn, is Voices United number 177, This Joyful Eastertide, which can also be found printed in your order of service. Thank you. Let us now join together in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, and we will conclude with the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we are creatures of time, and we don't really know what eternity means. But in this day, in this resurrection day, you give us the gift of eternity and the hope of a life that shall never end with you. We thank you for this incredible gift, even though we have not got the way to plumb the depths of its meaning. We don't really know what it means. We can't know what it means until we come to the end of our earthly lives. But in this life, it gives us hope. It gives us inspiration. It gives us a way of going forward into those difficult and impossible things of the future. You have given us a chance at faith, a chance where we can get past those certainties that we construct for ourselves and that prove to be founded on sand. You give us the hope that even when things seem to be falling apart, even when things seem to be impenetrable barriers, you will bring us through. You will bring us forward. You will bring us into a time that is new and fresh and different and better. We thank you, loving God, for that uncertainty. We get trapped when we think we know what we're doing. We get caught in our plots and our plans, in our certainties. And as painful as we find it, being shaken up gives us a new way of looking at the world, gives us new perspectives, and can even bring us new hope when we let you offer us that hope. So give us that hope now, we pray. And as we are separated now in this Easter season from loved ones with whom we would normally gather, we pray for them, for people who are at a distance, for people that we can maybe touch by telephone or over computers, but we would love to touch in the flesh, with hugs, with kisses, with greetings, with shared food. Bless our loved ones and keep them safe. Watch over each of them, wherever they are, however they may be celebrating this holy day. Be with us too, and bring us closer together in spirit, no matter how far apart we may be in the flesh. Gracious God, watch over this, our world, this, our city, this, our nation. Help us all as we struggle through this difficult time. And give us the courage to carry forward as we go everyone, the ones who are fragile, the ones who are at risk, the ones who are kept from vaccines through poverty or the luck of which nation they are born into. Help us to bring everyone forward so that all may become safe and all may be gathered together in your love. Help us in this time not to be discouraged, not to be selfish, not to cut ourselves off or be overcome by fear. But let the amazement that we find in this time inspire us and give us courage and lead us now into a hopeful future. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who died, who is risen, who lives forevermore, and who taught us to pray together in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn is number 173 in Voices United and printed in the order of service, Thine is the Glory. Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you this resurrection day and forevermore.